This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
For $22,000 to buy a small 60-seat restaurant in New Orleans.
Okay.
Which was called Chris Steakhouse.
Okay.
There was a fire, and it forced her to move to a new location. She renamed the new location Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Like Very interesting.
Like the possessive Ruth thing. Yeah. That's like the...
The more you know.
The story, and of course, this won't surprise you, but I happen to know a lot about steakhouses and their backstory.
Get out of here.
It's well documented that I only dine at steakhouses. Del Frisco's was owned by a guy who lost the whole entire thing in a divorce.
What?
And a woman, the ex-wife owns all of it now, and or maybe it's a public company, and she still controls a lot of the stock. But they say apparently the guy will show up and dine at the various places and sit at the bar and be like, hey, you know, I'm Del Frisco. I used to own all these places, and then
I got cleaned out.
Oh, good for him.
Yes, yes. All right. This is Paul. This is Paul here on the Framingham Ford Studio line. Hello, Paul. Paul,
talk to me, Goose.
All right, Paul's not there. It is 8:01. And this is WAAF FM and HD1 Westboro, Boston, WEEI HD2 Lawrence, and WWBX HD2 Boston.
And now it's your turn to talk as the Hillman Morning Show presents Hill Mail.
Yes, puppies. Puppies will make them sleep. Sleep.
On WAAF.
Let's see. Here's a 518 text. Where is that from, Danielle?
New York.
I have a friend who works at a luxury hotel, and he has had a number of encounters with Hanks. Can confirm that he is actually a dick. I knew it.
Really?
Yes, I knew it. That's an eyewitness account right there. Eyewitness account. Here's a 781 text that says Tom Hanks is the smiley face killer. Didn't know that, but... I mean, listen, if you were out at a bar, you're a young male out at a bar drinking with your friends, and Hanks shows up and wants to sing you happy birthday and buy you a beer, you would take the beer and you wouldn't think that you're being roofied or anything else.
He's throwing out lines and for us. You know, stupid is and stupid does. Oh, isn't he the best? I feel dizzy.
Let's see. Here's a 781 text that says, I am hoping that Del Frisco chews and screws on the tab, but leaves a tip.
Yeah.
I know. I hope he does. I hope he does, too. I hope he does. Hello, Mike. Obscure reference?
Hey. Obscure Del Frisco's reference?
Yes.
The movie Law Abiding Citizen.
Yes. Yes. That's
Del
a great,
Frisco's.
That's a great movie, Law Abiding Citizen. This is Paul, who is calling back. Yes, Paul.
Hey, I apologize. And by the way, for anybody ever out in Richardson, The guy who owns Del, who used to own Del Frisco's, he owns a restaurant called Texas Out of This World.
Where is it?
Richardson. So just north of Dallas. It's a restaurant. It's called Texas. He must be, he was 86. So he must be like, he was 84. So he's like 86, 87. So he asks you two questions when you come. Well, if you're there with a hot looking woman, he'll walk up to you and ask you two trivia questions. If you can answer them, he will give you a bottle of champagne.
Really?
With your beer. Yes.
And what is the what's the name of the place?
Texas.
Texas. Okay. All right. Good Texas. Info. Good info.
So, question for you, Greg. So, you know, here you are dissing Tom.
Yeah.
So you and all your travels out, you know, out to Pittsburgh, out to the Midwest,
yes.
whatever.
Yes.
How on the moon business is, if yeah. somebody sees you at an airport,
yes.
you know, at John Wayne International or
yes.
something,
yes.
are you going to oblige them? Or are you just going to, you know, just turn your shoulder and not, you know, not say hello or anything?
Let me just make it clear. My level of fame is on par with that of a carnival barker. So I am not often asked in an airport to sing happy birthday. However, if asked, I probably would do it. All right. Here are today's Hillmail voicemail messages, and they are presented by East Coast Metal Roofing. And you should reach out to them today because it is the first day of spring, and the roofing season rushes on. And they are offering you 10% off a brand new metal roof. That is their Spring into Savings program. So visit eastcoastmetalroofing.com. That's eastcoastmetalroofing.com.
Tuesday, 8:19 a.m.
Well, from a vomit stain found on the sidewalk over 30 years ago, police have identified the man found on the toilet asleep at Daisy's the morning the proprietor came in to open as Lyndon the Drinker.
End of message.
Oh, no way, kid. Joe Cimino loves me.
Like he does.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was reading, following up on the Jack the Ripper discussion yesterday, there are a lot of genealogists or DNA mm-hmm. experts, whatever they are, who say that they doubt that story, that they were able to identify the Polish barber as the actual Jack the Ripper because the DNA is, the technology is not necessarily that good. Or there's some, they found some flaw with it or
okay.
something
yeah, because
like
they're,
that.
They're able to get DNA not just from animals but from grain. Like I know the guy from Dogfish Head Ale
yeah.
takes ancient grain or whatever found in some kind of archaeological site and has the DNA replicated to
oh, yeah.
to make, you know, strange kinds of beers and
yeah.
stuff. And then that
yeah.
woolly mammoth story, they were able to bring it back to life.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I'm not an expert, so they're doubting the fact that this is factual information that the guy was Jack the Ripper.
Tuesday, 8:27 a.m.
Yo, girl! My poll is all about Danielle, yo!
End of message.
Well, Danielle's not.
That's kind of creepy.
Kind of.
Stanley's poll this morning, you can vote on our Twitter feed or on our Instagram. On Instagram, it's WAAF Boston. On Twitter, it's at WAAF. And it's about, on the first day of spring here in Massholia, whether you believe that we will get one more snowstorm or not.
Tuesday, 10:21 p.m.
You know who isn't triggered by sauce? LB. Because it sounded like he was on the sauce during yesterday's live read. Breakfast
here. End of message.
I'm always on the sauce.
Pretty sure he was for the whole show yesterday.
yes,
23 years in county, people.
Yeah.
If you're
he's committed.
Tick off today.
5:11 a.m.
Hey, kid.
Yeah?
I'll be here. Mm-hmm. You know, it stresses me out sometimes, waiting for me to get to the point of my story. What? Don't you like vanilla ice cream dipped in chocolate, kid? Yeah. You know, I was a brilliant.
End of message. 5:36 a.m.
Greg, I heard you saying how you had your new suit taken out in a particular area down below. You're absolutely right. You did not need to tell us what that area was. We all know that it was the gut.
End of message.
Listen. When I was out getting the new meeting sport coat yesterday, mm-hmm. I'll admit it was a little tight in the midsection area.
Yeah. No, but is it supposed to be now? That's the fashion trend, right?
Yeah.
Pants and the skinny suit.
Yeah, if you're $1.50 and 6'2".
Yeah.
You know, you get
the
one button and you look like everybody looks like they're busting out of their jacket.
Listen, I think that there will be a lot of fun for you. Those of you who like to ridicule me, I will debut the new meeting sport coat at the Greg Hill Foundation's annual event tonight at the UMass Club in Boston. Tonight's event is called 3,215 Days, and we are celebrating the 3,215 days that you have been giving generously to those around you. And last minute plug for the event tonight. I hope you'll think about joining me. I believe Danielle is coming tonight.
Correct.
What are you wearing this evening?
We don't know that until shortly before departure.
Okay, it takes a long time to pick the outfit.
I haven't looked at what's back from the dry cleaner. Yeah. Which heels are going to be appropriate for the weather? I have to see what the temp's going to be.
Do you have like five or seven closets? I mean, I'm imagining that you have an awful lot of. I mean, you had a horrible shopping addiction at one point.
Yes.
I believe you told us that you racked up about 50 G's mm-hmm. on the credit cards buying the clothes and the shoes
all
and the bags
things.
And the
yeah.
things. So you must have endless closets full of clothes.
I do. Yeah. And I'm starting to fit back into all of them, which is nice.
Yes.
Ooh, look at you.
Damn.
Yeah, I laugh at Annie because I, our closet, she has dresses in there that she's never even worn.
Oh, yeah.
They're bought in like, 1999.
Right.
Make plans to join us this evening. The event starts at 6, and we play a video every year, which in which you get to hear from some of those that you have helped.
Bring the tissues for that one.
Yeah,
bring the tissues.
And you'll hear some of our beneficiaries and their inspirational stories of recovery after fighting through tragedy. So you can get your tickets when you go to thegreghillfoundation.org. That's thegreghillfoundation.org.
Now, important question going back to the sport coat briefly.
Yes.
Did you have it custom tailored for your current body or for the body you think you're going to have once you get back to running in 2 months?
Because
of my clothes I've ever purchased are in a size 2 or 4 because I'm going to want to wear this in that size someday when I get skinny again.
No, I got to tell you, it's for my current jacked body makeup, or whatever you might refer to it. My tight
pepper jack.
What was yesterday? Buys, tries, and back.
Yes, it was. So, all right. Here's a text asking if I bought that jacket yesterday in honor of Craig Sager. He was somebody who dressed. I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's an aggressive.
No, it's not.
It's an aggressive
Craig Sager.
It's an aggressive pattern, but I do that now just to be made fun of. It's like silver puffy jacket. I mean, pretty soon. I mean, today's the first day of spring. I'm going to pack silver puffy jacket away for the winter soon, and you won't have that to make fun of me about anymore. This is Nancy. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
What's up, Nancy?
Me and some girlfriends went to Nashville last weekend, and in the airport, Bill Belichick was there.
Yes.
And we were dying. We were like, oh my God. And this guy comes up and has his book and asked him to sign it. He went, no.
What?
It was kind of disheartening. He was kind of a jerk.
Listen, I mean, I think we're not expecting that in public Bill is going to be an overly friendly guy. I mean, I don't think that fits in with kind of what his personality is.
I know. We were starstruck and was kind of disappointing. But
yeah, but you know what? You just an FYI, you can't be disappointed because a lot of people don't understand that person wants that autograph.
Right.
To sell the book
to
a memorabilia guy for $10,000.
I wouldn't assume that.
Even regardless, somebody like that is getting approached constantly.
That's why Bobby Orr does. Bobby Orr personalizes everything.
Every
he
autograph,
asks
right.
your name.
Yeah. Right.
He asks your name.
Right.
And he writes it to you so you can't go to a memorabilia shop and sell it.
Here's, by the way, today, speaking of the greatest. Not Gretzky, but Orr. Today is B. Orr's birthday.
Oh, wow.
Happy,
God bless. He's amazing.
Happy birthday to the great number 4. And LB, a 978 texter, says Belichick has a personal policy that he will not sign anything so that there can be no resale. So,
exactly.
In this particular case, that is why. Now, this texter says the real question is, why was Bill flying commercial?
Well,
listen, he's frugal.
Common man.
I mean, the guy is frugal. He's frugal.
5:51 a.m.
Hey, Greg, is one of your arms hanging low or your little hands just won't grow? You bought a $1,000 jacket. Was it worth it, though?
End of message.
We'll see tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We will see tonight.
6:26 a.m.
Thank you. You know what? I know it's spring, but I can dip my ice cream in chocolate, kid.
End of message.
Again.
6:58 a.m.
The MLB climate no make sense me. Climate change don't make sense me.
End of message.
All right. That's going a little far. Leave my buddy alone.
Well, people just can't wrap their head around the fact that I know what I'm talking about. I don't want to bust your nuts.
Well,
but you know, think about the money that the government makes off your garbage can, and we live on a dying planet.
Now, what do you
Earth
mean?
Is
bingo,
dead.
Bingo,
Earth
bingo.
Is dead.
Bingo.
What do you mean that the money the government makes off your garbage can?
Well, what they charge you $10 per can.
You mean the recycling bin that your town charges you for?
Yes, recycling. We don't recycle. How about this? Wrap your head around the fact that there are barges floating in the ocean with all our garbage, and they charge you for a recycling bin.
Well, they,
just
they
wake
have
up
to
and smell the coffee.
They
people.
Have to
I'm done. I'm
pay
done.
For the
I'm
bins,
done. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm
okay.
Having a great. It's a great week.
Mm-hmm.
You just everybody sticks their head in the sand. You put your recycling stuff into a recycling bin, and then they take it, and it all ends up in a barge, floating in the ocean. It's a money grab.
Are you alleging that when you're recycling an item,
yes.
It is not being recycled? This is a massive conspiracy?
Right. They separate it. They make you separate it. They charge you to separate it.
No, they don't.
And then
not
they
everywhere.
When Danielle, go to
God,
a
we
dump.
Have single stream
go to a dump.
I
just
get,
go to a
I
dump.
Get
it all gets put in the game.
I get it.
All gets
China's
put in
not
the same
buying
place.
The stuff anymore. We get it. We get
Danielle,
it. We get it. Relax.
I love it. I love it.
I don't think Swampscott's doing a big money grab to charge me $10 for the recycling bin that costs them money.
Yeah. And
then the health department pays somebody.
They take it to a building and they put it all back together.
Okay.
And then they take it to a dump site.
Uh-huh.
And then they. Well, just do some research.
I just agreed with you. I said China's not buying it anymore, dickface.
They charge us to recycle, but it doesn't get recycled.
Well, you could charge for your trash pickup anyway. What's the difference?
What?
Oh, see, now we go. Down.
What do you mean? What?
Who's charging you to recycle?
Your town.
Right.
Right.
So they charge you for trash.
Yeah.
What's the difference if they're picking both
no,
of them up?
No, they charge you extra.
No, they don't. My town doesn't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. Can somebody from Holliston Town
you pay
Hall
for
call
the
up?
Recycling bin? Yes, you pay $5 for the recycling bin.
Now it's $5 discount.
Well, whatever it is. Well, you have to have two because you can't put all your recycling crap into
I have
one
barrel
recycling
that I repurposed
bin.
With a sticker. I didn't
okay,
have to pay the
so
town
$5
anything.
$5
yeah, I did
per
the same thing.
$5 per household, per town, per city. Think about the ripoff that is.
You know the bins cost money, right, bud?
No, you don't
They're
need...
They're not free
hey,
to the town.
Hey, Danielle, I know what I have to pay for a garbage can at Lowe's. Why do I have to pay for a
then
recycling bin when I have to put it all in one
recycle.
Garbage bin?
Put it in the garbage. Don't
they
do
don't
it then.
Recycle.
Then don't recycle your stuff. What are you complaining about?
Because we're getting ripped off. Can
you know,
I just
guys,
can I just be pissed off?
Do you know how much money you spend on alcohol?
I know.
Oh, and you're bitching about
go,
a $5 recycling
Do you know how much money
bin?
You spend on extra panties that you don't wear?
Shut up.
I'm not bitching about the recycling
Oh,
bin.
Hey. Yeah. You
Good
know what?
Lord.
I can wear a bra for a week, but you know what? I got 32 of them in my dresser. And I haven't worn
me.
One for like... 10 years.
Well, now hold on a moment. This is Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hi.
What's up, Ryan? I am attempting to referee this out of control argument here.
It's
yes,
not
what?
Out of control, Hildog.
Yeah,
it's
so
just the stupidity of human
right.
beings.
Franchise fees.
What?
Governments fund themselves off of trash.
What is it again?
What they do? A franchise fee. So what the county or town does is they. say there's one hauler who can pick up that trash can for $10, and the government gets $5 from that can.
Thank you.
And they pocket all that money, and the other $5 actually goes to managing the waste. And this happens all over the country. Millions and millions of dollars.
It's a billion-dollar industry, kid.
Well, there's no, you know, that's, I don't know why. Do you think that you're saying the government should just fund the trash pickup with the taxes that are taken from everybody else? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. There's Orange County, California actually got out of bankruptcy by trash.
By
taxing trash.
Yeah.
Well, think about all the property that's been built on top of trash.
Well.
Because they don't get rid of it.
Well, the entire Back Bay was filled in. Most of that was probably dirt because it was the colonial times, but some trash as well. I think when they're digging, like a, you know, making a new building in the seaport, they uncover, or I guess we're talking about Back Bay, but it's, you know, if you're putting in, going way deep in on Boylston Street or Newbury Street or something, they end up finding all kinds of crap down there because that's how they created that part of the city.
There's the mall, I believe, out in Holyoke. They built on a gigantic trash pile, and the gases that are released from that trash pile are making or bending the structure of the mall or something to that effect. Yeah.
I got to get my boy BJ Harvey on the phone.
He'll
be able to solve this for LB.
Yeah.
This is Jamie. Hello, Jamie.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
What's up?
I also work in a dump, and you know, everything does get recycled. I've worked in recycling facilities. It all does get sorted and recycled.
Listen, I agree with you. You get paid to separate and recycle, but at the end of the day, after it leaves your building, it all gets put back together.
Oh.
No, it actually gets bundled and sold to China.
China.
You're making my point, bud. So what do you think China does with it? They put it on the barge and send it out into the ocean.
Just a note to clarify, since people are chiming in on the text line about their various towns and cities and whatnot. Holliston has a pay-as-you-throw program. So you have to use trash stickers every time you throw out your trash. Is that?
LB
never done it.
He's never taken out trash.
I've lived there for 6 years.
Not
never
home
done
a lot.
It.
Yeah.
I'll text Annie on that one.
You pay for it. What do? You buy the... A lot of towns, you buy the stickers.
Right.
Mm. They do that at Ocean Park. You could buy like the trash bag sticker thing, and you know you're all set.
Yeah. First bag every week is free in Holliston. Yeah. Make that a T-shirt.
Not a clue at the buyer's household.
You just throw it on the floor statement. And somehow it disappears.
Yeah. You got it.
I hear you.
This is Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Matt?
All right, so I live in Ashland, and every year, you know, we pay an annual fee. It's between $70 and $80. You have the service of single stream recycling offered free, but we also have to purchase trash bags. You'll get five of them for $9, and they're about 33 gallons. So if you can imagine that, you probably use two or three of them in a given week. And on top of that, you're paying for, you know, the annual fee. And so people are probably taking advantage of the single stream, and they're putting trash in there. And ultimately, that's driving up the cost year after year.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Well.
And can I say a shout out to my guy that picks up my trash? Great dude.
Well,
that's why you don't pay for the stickers.
That's why.
I got you,
LB. No. I'm not sending them down the river on that. Annie buys the stickers.
And shout out to Chris, the hot trash guy that does my town.
Oh,
hot
nice.
Trash guy.
He's a good looking trash guy. Somebody
really?
On the text line identified him once.
Are you somebody who stands out there and says, Chris, would you mind dumping the load into my barrel? Are you out? Oh, hold on a second. We got a trash expert, a trash magnate on the phone, and it's not our former producer. It is my good friend, BJ Harvey. What's up?
Good morning.
Are you listening to this nonsense, these two bickering over here?
I just turned on. I have great news. Who lives in Holliston?
LB.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, good. July 1, you will have E.L. Harvey as your trash provider.
I love it, Ken. Thanks, bud.
Now,
yeah, man.
LB is saying that recycling is just a massive fraud and a cash grab.
Well, he's 100% correct.
Oh, what?
Wait a second. Double Tito's soda, close it. We're done.
He's saying that the stuff that you're, when you're doing the recycling and you get the recycling bin and such, never actually makes it to be recycled. It's floating on some sort of a barge off the ocean in China or something. Is that accurate?
No.
Okay.
I wish that was the case. That would be the easier thing.
Yeah.
But no, so it gets picked up, brought back to a recycling facility where they break out a bunch of different commodities, cardboard, paper, plastics, metal, baled up, and then shipped out.
Okay.
So there's not a whole lot of material going to China anymore. They basically have shut their doors to all fiber commodities going into the country.
Yeah.
Really?
The reason I know this is because I watched a documentary. It was an hour-long documentary about the barges with all the garbage that they just set free in the ocean.
Oh, I thought you knew it because you have two dumpster fire sports reports every morning.
I only got one left, Ken.
Every morning. But wait,
that was what you probably saw. So there's marine transfer stations in New York City. So they barge. They don't barge it to dump it in the middle of the ocean. They barge it to different transfer stations to get it out of the city, to get it to upstate New York.
Yeah, but in the documentary, we all know people cut corners. So, you know, obviously somebody's like, yeah, you know what? Instead of taking it to the transfer station, let's just set it free. That's, you know, I don't know. I watched it.
That's where you use, LB, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's where you go to use the scale. Is at the transfer station. Is that correct?
No joking aside, I have used
to within 20 pounds.
I have used an industrial scale to weigh myself.
I'm sure you have. In general, we're running out of places to put our trash here in America, right?
Well, we are in Massachusetts, yeah. We surely are in Massachusetts. The middle of the country is, there's just a lot of land and a lot of places to put it.
Yeah.
And that's where recycling is very questionable, because it's a lot cheaper to just bury it than actually put it through a system and recycle it. So that's where in the state of Massachusetts, we're just a lot tighter with disposal capacity, and there's a waistbands in place that force recycling. So it's a necessity that we have to do it.
Well, I'm glad you called. Trash Magnate, my friend BJ. I will tell you this, a quick plug, because E.L. Harvey is a huge partner of the Greg Hill Foundation, and I like doing business with people who support community organizations. And so if you're a texter says you ought to sponsor the sports because it's a dumpster fire,
right.
BJ. Yeah, so, but listen, thanks.
We'd be happy to do that. Yeah. That would be a fun foundation of
well,
that.
Listen, thank you for what you do. You guys are important people.
So, listen, thanks for calling in and thanks for the support for the foundation, bud. All
yeah, right? And like I said, July 1, Holliston. All here right. We come, LB.
I love it, kid.
LB will be...
Freezers full of beer.
Lots of... Empty bottle returns over there at the home of LB. All right. It is 8:28.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First day of spring is brought to you by the all-new three-row 2019 Subaru Ascent. And the sun is out, and It is going to get into the mid-50s later on today. And currently it is 35 here in beautiful, safe Brighton, Massachusetts. And check out the all-new three-row 2019 Subaru Ascent featuring all-wheel drive. Love is now bigger than ever this winter. Here's a 781 text asking when I am going to address the aforementioned Elizabeth Holmes voice controversy.
Yeah.
And I might as well do it now. Now, I said yesterday when asked that I would give many of you a day to complete your homework assignment, which was to watch the Inventor documentary on HBO, and especially Mark Hsu, my documentary buddy, who is about...
That still sounds creepy.
You're about halfway through The Inventor?
Yeah, a little more than halfway. Yeah.
The interesting thing about this woman... So the Inventor is about a woman named Elizabeth Holmes who built hundreds of millions of dollars from investors while it appears to be fully aware that the product that they were investing in had absolutely no likelihood of working. So it was a blood test. The name of the company was Theranos. And it was a blood test.
It's Theranos.
It was a blood test in which you could go to Walgreens and they would take one tiny drop of blood from your finger.
Okay.
And they could do, she said they could do hundreds of tests for diseases right there on the spot. And you'd essentially be able to know if you had something, you were getting something, whatever. So,
not so much.
The documentary is extraordinary, and she does several things in it that, in hindsight, people should have caught on to. Like, for instance, she dresses like the female Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
So she's wearing the black turtlenecks, mm-hmm. and she shows it. At one point in the documentary, they show her closet.
Right. It's all the same.
It's all the same. She mm-hmm. has about 60 outfits that are all the same exact outfit. So when people see her, they're thinking Steve Jobs.
Right.
She has this odd habit that people who work there talk about frequently of not blinking. So her eyes are always wide open.
Right.
Creepy. That would creep you out.
Yeah.
Well, Stiz Grimey, our assistant producer, is obsessed with this voice controversy.
It's crazy.
And you've been doing some research on this since the documentary aired Monday night.
Yes.
And apparently, she changed her voice.
Oh, 1,000%. It's 1,000%. No question.
And she changed it to sound more manly, perhaps so that she would be believed when she was committing this fraud. That, you know, that if she was a woman, a female scientist mm-hmm. who sounded manly, then she would be more likely to be believed.
Yeah.
However, from time to time, sometimes when she was drunk, other times when she would just get caught up in what she was talking about, she would slip back into a real voice.
Yeah.
Now the controversial thing and the weird thing is that every time Stiz has found over the last 36 hours has found the video where she is talking in a real voice on YouTube or what have you, it disappears.
It's been deleted.
There was
a concrete example. Yesterday, I had a video.
Yeah.
It was her real voice. It wasn't this baritone, monotone thing.
Right.
Today, just went to pull it up to record it into our system. It was gone. It said this content has been removed from YouTube. And this is happening with multiple videos of her real voice.
She must have some money left. She must have said...
Because
the company... Whew. This is amazing, but at one point, the company was valued at $9 billion.
Mm. Hello.
And now it is worth less than zero.
Nothing.
Less than zero. Now, here's a text that says, the most interesting... This person watched it last night. The most interesting part is that she is not in jail. but Fire Festival Billy is
right?
is in jail.
Yes.
Right. Is in jail.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, she's like the female.
Agree.
She's like the female Billy. But you have a couple examples.
Yes.
We're gonna play the manly voice first, Shu. So you have this is the fake voice that you can't help but being obsessed with it when you hear it and see it in the Inventor documentary. This is the manly voice.
It's a really big deal to me because it's an opportunity to connect with so many young people, especially in classrooms across the country, and especially with my background, little girls who hear a lot of people come in and talk to them, but maybe don't get to hear from, I consider myself, young women who have really pursued science and engineering and business and have the opportunity to talk with them about what's possible.
Okay, that's the manly version.
Mm. I'm just really focused.
Did it freak you out when you were watching it that you can't help?
Right,
like,
you can't help but notice it on her. Right, because it's one of those things where she looks a certain way,
yeah.
And then the voice comes out, and you're like, oh, that's definitely not mixing here.
Now, here's a phone interview in which she accidentally slips into her real voice.
Well, if I use traditional words to describe what we're doing, it's hard because people then associate it with conventional processes.
Night and day.
Complete fraud.
Yeah. Night and day.
Complete fraud.
It's like a whole... octave, I guess you could say, lower.
Yeah.
Like she's definitely going like this.
I know. So complete fraud.
I want to make it available to everybody.
Now, here's somebody who says sexism does indeed exist in the sciences. Their friend is currently getting her PhD in etymology. And for her papers, she has to use her initials instead of her first name.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So maybe, I mean, I guess giving the benefit of the doubt, maybe it wasn't because she was attempting to commit fraud. Maybe it was because she just felt like she would be more respected if she had a manly voice.
Maybe she should tone it down a little and she might be taken a little more serious.
Yeah.
Stan, you don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, so, if she was really going for that effect,
yeah.
She maybe should have cut her hair and tried to look that way. I don't know. It's just weird. It's a weird thing to consider.
Yeah.
When you're trying to impress somebody, like maybe if I talk more like this, they'll pay attention.
Yeah. Did you see the other crazy part too? She doesn't blink.
Yeah, no, I just said that like at the beginning of the segment 2 minutes ago, Stanley.
It just struck me.
Glad it wasn't me that time.
Crazy. Minute goes by and she doesn't blink. It's the craziest thing.
And her eyes are huge, so it makes it more pronounced.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Stan and I should play a really uncomfortable game of blink chicken.
You should.
We connected on a soul level.
Texter says, Greg, have you mentioned that one of the first major investors in Theranos was Robert Kraft? Yes, we talked about that during the 6 o'clock hour. That money's gone.
That's another thing. With the list of the names of the investors.
Well, and the board of directors.
These people aren't like, jokers that you see on like Silicon Valley or something.
No.
Just throwing their money. These are like experienced investors who have had success in the past with this kind of stuff, and you think they would have some kind of team, or have they done their research?
Listen, one of the parts where I felt really bad was the grandson of George Shultz, the former Secretary of State. Mm. George Shultz was on the board, and he was enamored with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandson went to work there, and then he became essentially a whistleblower. And he went to his grandfather and he's like, listen, none of this is real. Everything that's happening there it's a complete fraud. And he and his grandfather had a falling out over that fact because George Shultz still believed her and still believed. I mean, she had Henry Kissinger on her board of directors. Mm-hmm.
General Mad Dog Mattis.
Yes. General Mattis was.
General Mad Dog Mattis.
Yeah. I mean, it's a texter says she sounds bat-ass crazy. Well, I mean, let's see. Here's a 508 text. I spent an hour with her 2 years ago, and she is psychotic.
Really?
According to that texter. 508 text. Can you believe that Walgreens bit for $140 million? Dollars? No, yeah. I could not.
No.
I could not. There was an engineer, a scientist who went to work there, who was so upset about it. He was he was being deposed in a lawsuit, and they weren't allowing him. They were threatening him. He committed suicide.
Right, right. The head of the Stanford biology department or something?
Yes, yes.
Tenured position, quit to go work for her.
Yes, yes.
You know, and this is a guy who has a huge reputation in that field.
Right.
See, that's
right.
What really gets me is she was so good. She should start a business in hiding information now. Like, she should work for the government or the CIA because she was great. She was at every job interview. Do you remember that part?
Yes.
A receptionist was saying, I was surprised to see she was sitting in on the interview.
Because she didn't want to get anybody in there who might expose what was going. Yeah, she would interview everybody.
Yep.
She had 800 employees, and she would interview every single person, including the receptionists.
Yeah.
Here's a text from a woman, 508 texter, who took a seminar on communication skills for women, and they tell you to deepen your voice to be taken more seriously at
work. That's so sexist. Yeah, that's,
it is very sexist, LB. You're right about that.
You know, but I'll tell you, now that I think back on my broadcasting career, I have definitely deepened my voice when I've done...
But not to be taken more seriously. Not,
well, yes.
What, really?
Like, not on this show, because this show I'm my usual spirited masshole self most of the time. But when I was Carolyn Keene doing the news on our former sister station, I would often drop my voice to a lower octave.
Yeah, I mean...
So it makes sense.
But Lisa Jackson always had a higher voice.
Well, that's because she was doing sports, guy.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, sports flash.
Listen, a lot of these people, you know, you were asking about how she was able to fool all these intelligent investors. And they talk about that in the documentary, where some of these investors want to be the first in, and they're willing because they're looking for, you know, a huge payoff. Right. So it's a big risk, you know, risk reward kind of thing. And they're willing to get into something like this based on, there was that one VC guy who was talking
about a role. And the Tesla guy, the guy who was the first investor in like Tesla.
Yes.
And like Uber.
Yeah. And he
had a lot of victories.
But he said he only bases it on the individual, not necessarily the idea or the concept. And so he was, obviously for him, the Steve Jobs, the female Steve Jobs clothing and the deep voice and the no blinking did it. And that was enough to convince him that she was a visionary or whatever.
There's always that one wealthy VC guy who has the story about the time he played golf with Jerry Yang 27 years ago. And Jerry wanted him to invest like $50,000 in Yahoo. And he told him he was nuts. He's like, you know, if I had just given Jerry that check, I'd be a Yahoo millionaire.
Wow, Bernie Madoff. Think about the people he scammed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fake it till you make it.
Dan's running a Ponzi scheme now.
But that's what they say is, that's the whole attitude in Silicon Valley is fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
In this particular case, though, you know, it's clear very early on she knew they were faking it and they weren't going to make it because there was no way that they were ever going to make that technology work.
Well, she based, I guess, a lot of her selling style on Thomas Edison, they say, through the whole thing.
Yes,
Thomas Edison didn't always tell the truth either.
No, he didn't.
You know, but he barely just did what he had to do to get what he wanted done.
Correct. Well, she called the machine the Edison.
Right, right.
And when it came to the light bulb, he barely made the light bulb work. He was out of money and owed a ton of money and then barely made the technology work or however. You know, he said for a long time.
He stole Tesla. He stole Tesla's idea.
That's right. Yes, you're right. The Russian bot is on the phone. Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Nothing much. All right, so I want to throw LB a life jacket here.
Yeah.
I was listening to your conversation earlier about the trash pickup.
Oh, we don't want to go. We don't want to. Yeah, what?
What's that?
What?
I said, I think it's funny how LB has the cojones to go out there and question the narrative. And, you know, Shu and Diane over there, almost every single time, they never give it any credence. They laugh. They never think, oh, well, maybe I should just look into this and see what he's talking about because maybe there's something to it.
Yes.
They laugh it off. And it's classic liberalism right there.
They are cowards. They are not questioning the
narrative. Excuse me.
LB visionary.
Excuse me. We're going on.
Questioning the narrative.
We listen to two sports reports 5 days a week that are consistently wrong.
Yeah.
It's worth taking the risk.
That's the sports minute. Right. Have you watched the documentary about how much garbage is at the bottom of the ocean?
What's the documentary called?
He doesn't know the title of it.
Google it.
Google it.
On what channel did you see it?
I don't know. It. Discovery Channel.
Who produced it?
I have no idea the guy's name, but he's obviously somebody that cares about the planet.
Okay.
And wants to open people's eyes to, you know, the fact that we get charged a fortune to recycle, and then they dump it in the bottom of the ocean.
Right, so for those that are inquiring, the name of the documentary that we have been discussing is The Inventor, and it debuted on HBO on Monday night. Now, Stanley, while you're in here, can you give us an update on Stanley's poll, which has been up for a couple of hours this morning?
Yes.
You might want to see doctors about that, but the poll question this morning is...
So we wanted to know, today may be the first day of spring, but will we get another storm?
Okay, and what are the results?
So far, over 150 votes in on Twitter, and the yeses are in the lead with 55%.
No!
Wow.
Yes. So over half the people believe that we're going to get one more snowstorm. Yes. Really? All right, what about on the gram?
Let me pull up the gram. I believe it is around the same.
About the same on Instagram?
Yes. Oh, actually, no. It's the opposite. So 58% of our Instagram audience think no.
No.
Yes.
On Instagram. No more snow.
Yes.
I would like to align myself with those people. We're done. We don't need any more.
I'm with the other people.
It's the first that you think you're, well, you're...
Always half empty.
You're a pessimist.
This place sucks.
You are a pessimist. You think we're going to get walloped. Bombo Cyclone 2 is coming.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you can vote Stanley's poll on our Twitter feed or on our Instagram.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.